Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, by EveryCite.com, the coolest new technology around. RunCatalina.com, Catalina Marathon coming up on Saturday, March 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville. We've had over 800,000 downloads of our shows. Our next guest, what a diverse background. We're talking a runner at Georgetown with a 57.13 time for 400 and up through 34.55 for 10K. Now one of the best obstacle racers in the world, Rose Wetzel, joins us. Rose, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thanks, Bob. How are you?
I am wonderful. So wait, are nine kids in the family?
Yeah, nine kids in my family. My parents are endurance athletes, although they're not really athletes, actually, technically. They're into music and they're scholarly. But, yeah, they had a lot of us. It was crazy growing up, but fun.
Now, how far were you in the pecking order there?
Eight of nine.
You were, and by that time, your folks were like, go do whatever you want. Just get the heck out of the house.
Right. Totally.
Well, and your sports, soccer, running, you did just about anything?
I did soccer and loved it. But I think I was only really good at it because I was good at running.
Right.
So I just realized that in high school I switched to doing cross country and track instead of soccer because I love to run.
Yeah.
I'm one of those weird people.
Well, you know what's funny? Soccer has been Josh Cox, who became a great runner, a soccer background. A lot of times you have that soccer background. It keeps you from a lot of kids starting to run on the track and everything when they're 6, 7, 8 years old. They burn out. And
right.
The fact that you were playing on grass, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you were getting towards junior and senior in high school, did you feel like you had what it takes to become a runner in college?
Yeah, well, I had my second year of track and field, I won a state championship for 800 meters. So that was such a great confidence boost, just being this kind of insecure, tomboy. Just to get that confidence boost was amazing. And I started getting, letters from colleges in school during class, and that was really cool. So, yeah, I was really excited about the idea of just kind of traveling far away and having a new experience and being able to run in college.
I remember reading something about you where you were, as a kid, I think your parents sort of forgot you at a rest stop.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have a lovely family. I say crazy in an endearing way, but, I mean, inevitably with nine kids, it's going to be, a bit wacky, right? I mean,
yeah.
And I was left at a rest area, not on purpose, obviously, but, way back from big family reunion, I slept at a rest area. I took a little too long in the bathroom, I guess. I was only about 5 years old. It's technically one of my very first memories. And, I'm left there. These cops are coming to, take me to jail because, my family hasn't shown up for half an hour or so.
Yeah.
And I look over and see this clunky station wagon pull up with full of my family, and I just ran to them, and I was so excited to see them. They felt terrible, but I was just glad to see them. I understood that it's nothing personal, but I tell you, I think it has to do a little bit now with why I enjoy doing things like wearing costumes once in a while, running in fun outfits, artsy tights and stuff. Like, it's just kind of like in my family, I think I learned that day that, if you don't want to be forgotten, you got to be noticed. You got to be loud, funny, crazy.
So, you got to do something to stand out in the crowd. You got to be loud, noticeable, noteworthy. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
It seems like it shaped your personality because it sounds like growing up, you were sort of that person in the family. Your family seemed like a pretty quiet group, and you were sort of the John Belushi breaking the bottle over your head. Like a, hey!
A couple of us, yeah, a couple of us. Remember the Dominic also as well. With a. Create some waves and was quite the character. It was fun. Like, what a mix of people. I mean, nine kids and we span the spectrum in every way. And it's just really, it was like my first team being a part of really. And we continue to act as a team now, helping each other out. And it's really a pretty cool experience to have been part of.
So growing up in Washington State and then going to Georgetown, Talk about a little bit of a culture shock. And Georgetown has obviously an awesome track and field cross-country program.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
In their academics, academics and athletics, it was just unparalleled. I had taken a recruiting visit to a couple of Ivy League schools, Brown and Columbia, which were amazing schools, but the athletics wasn't quite the same there, whereas Georgetown had this nice mix. It has a nice mix. Stanford also has a really nice mix of both athletics and academics at a high level. And so I love my time at Georgetown, and it was a little bit of a culture shock because coming from the West Coast, we're so laid back. And I remember going to Georgetown on the East Coast in D.C., and there were girls wearing makeup with their hair done at 8 o'clock in the morning wearing skirts. And I was like, I don't even know if I own a skirt. I went out and bought a skirt, not because I, felt I had to, but I wanted to fit in to some degree at least. But that wasn't doing hair and makeup at 8 a.m. That's where I draw the line. Nope.
But as a junior NCAA 15-meter junior All-American, love that. And then Big East, 4x800-meter relay champion.
Yeah.
So you guys are having some good success.
Totally.
And the hard part about being a collegiate runner is, for a lot of folks, that's sort of the end of the line. It's not like, okay, I'm a baseball player, basketball player, football player. I'm going to finish college and then go have my career doing this.
Mm-hmm.
When you were done with college, did you figure that your athletic days were sort of in the rearview mirror?
Well, it's a good question. I didn't have any idea that I would go on to accomplish what I've done since then. As far as it's hard to run faster after college for a lot of people because we get so much support in college, and then afterwards you're on your own coaching, your own everything. And I did have a time period after college, believe me, where I gained some weight, partied like I wasn't allowed to do in college, and I just kind of. I also went through a bit of an almost depressed time period, too, like a quarter-life crisis, they say. Like,
sure. Like
now what do I do with my life, right? I'm back working at Safeway like I did when I was 16, and, I've got this great degree and graduated with honors, but here I am doing the same thing I was doing, practically. So it was just an interesting time period where I went through where I was, not necessarily in shape, nothing like the shape I'd been in college. But I still did a lot of road races and still enjoyed running for therapy, for fun, for social aspects. But I wore a lot of costumes then just to remind myself to have fun and kind of go back to why I started running, which is just because I love it. And I ended up just getting back into it more and more. And I started doing this. I signed up for this 200-mile bike race.
Yeah.
And got in great shape actually training for that. And I was training scared, I didn't know if I could do it, and that was a good thing for me. And from then on out, I just found myself wanting to go back on the track and train hard. Got a private coach actually to help me out, Luda, who was awesome, and came pretty close to hitting Olympic trials qualifying time a few years ago. So,
what distance were you trying to make the trials in?
It's a very good question. I started out in the 1,500 meters.
Yep.
I ran a 4:42 for a mile and a 4:22 for 1,500, but that was still a few seconds off, and I was kind of hitting a wall. So then I tried the steeplechase a few times, but realized I needed a lot more. I needed a couple of years to really hone the technique needed for hurdling. And then I didn't hit it. But then the following year, I ended up running within 1 second of what had been the 800-meter qualifying time.
Wow, with your 207.
Yes. Well, 205.9 was the qualifying time 4 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago, I ran 206.9 in a relay at Club Nationals, and I ran 207.88 open. So I was like, man, I should have been going for the 800. And I will admit that even now, there's a part of me that thinks, oh, gosh, should I try again? Should I go big and hit the 800? I mean, I love it. It was my favorite. I was a state champion a couple times in the 800 in high school. It's my favorite distance. But at the same time, I think they're going so well with obstacle course racing, with American Ninja Warrior, that it's hard to, even if I made the Olympic trials, it would be an honor, totally, but I'm...
You're not going to make the team, right? I can get to the trials. The trials will be a great experience, but it's not like there's dessert after dinner. I'm going there for dinner, and the dessert is going to Rio. I want to go to Rio.
Exactly. And the ones going to Rio are the ones who have been, eating, breathing, drinking track and field for a decade and a half straight.
And trying to stay healthy.
Yeah. So it's just, it's been great though. I mean, I love being a hybrid athlete. I love being able to be an American Ninja Warrior, which is all obstacles, and then still, you know, getting back to track and field and busting out some speedy races and doing long Spartan World Championships for 3 hours up and down a mountain. And it's just, you know, I don't know, variety is the spice of life, and I really, truly feel that way when it comes to athletics for myself.
What I love is the attitude that you've brought. Well, first of all, what I love is the fact that you did triathlons, you did 200-mile bike rides, you did relays, mountain biking, you did all of it. And what's so cool is there we do have that, what I call the salad bar of endurance out there. There's so much different stuff you can do. Mm-hmm. And how did you find obstacle racing? You remember that first one?
I do, yeah. So my friend Monique Dawson had mentioned a couple times, I was her personal trainer at the time, she'd mentioned, oh, you've got to try this race, it's amazing, it's crazy, you'd love it. But I was so immersed in track and field, trying to make the trials and then trying to make USA's the next year, that I was just really, really focused. And then at the end of that track season, my buddy Chad Trammell, who I ran at Club Northwest with in Seattle, he said, Rose, you really got to try this obstacle course racing. It's made for you. You're strong for a runner, being a personal trainer and stuff. Just try it out. So I took his word for it, finally. I tried it out and just fell in love. I mean, I did the Spartan race in Washougal, Washington 2 years ago, and I was so exhausted by the end in every way, shape, and form. I led the race in front of it was a sprint championship. I had no idea. Everybody who was really good was there. I was leading for like half of it. It was crazy, not knowing I was ahead of this world champion person. And at the very end, there were tons of obstacles. I did my burpees really slowly. I'd never really done burpees before. And I learned a lot that race, but I was just so exhausted in a fun way, not just from running and lungs and legs, but my upper body as well, which was a new feeling for me,
right,
that I thought, oh, man, I'm so excited to go home and train for this. Spice up my training, add some more variety, come back and do as well as I can.
So running plus jumping, climbing, and a giant water slide. Sign me up.
Yeah, crawling, carrying heavy things. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff involved. It's really just such a cool, unique sport for anybody. I mean, in an obstacle course race, there's something that anyone will be challenged by, and there's something that anyone will feel really excited and comfortable doing. You know what I mean?
So exactly.
You know, yeah.
And the cool thing about obstacle racing is, I mean, obviously you guys off the front are racing for prize money and TV, et cetera. But just like in triathlon or marathons, everybody has their own goal. If it's losing 30 pounds or if it's overcoming an injury or trying to come back from cancer, whatever it happens to be, that's the great thing about it. And, you know, before I get too far along, obviously we've got the Spartan in Temecula coming up on January 30th, and that's an 8 miles, 24 obstacles at Vail Lake, which is beautiful. That's on January 30th. And you'll be racing there.
Oh, I'll be there. I love that race.
That's, Vail Lake is awesome. Vail Lake is, we've done a lot of different events up at Vail Lake. So all of a sudden, you're getting into the Spartan thing. You become number one in the world, and you do the American Ninja Warrior. And I think I was reading you had to submit a video, and you guys you basically waited till, you know, it's like, well, I don't know if we really want to do this. And then you submitted one like the 24th hour, and next thing you know, you're on American Ninja Warrior.
You know, I will say I wasn't training for it. It wasn't on my radar because there was no running involved. And in my mind, oh, yeah, I'm a runner. Yes, I'm doing well on this obstacle course racing, but there's still real running involved in it. And I know I'm strong for a runner, but it just wasn't totally on my radar. But a buddy of mine, Levi Keller, had been on it, and he was like, oh, you've got to try out for it. So I did, and I really do recommend anyone who's interested, just make a video. You know, you never know. Because they like people who have not just, you know, a great athletic background, but also who are interesting and wacky, and they go for personalities, they go for stories.
Right.
So I do encourage anyone to try out for it. But anyways, my husband and I just, you know, made a quick video and sent it in right at midnight when it was due. And I got chosen. So I went and I got as far as any girl got that day in Houston, the qualifiers. I got as far as Casey Catanzaro got, who, you know, was really famous for finishing a whole city qualifying and final course the year before. So, and she's great, and it was just great to meet her and everybody. The ninjas are amazing, wacky, awesome, weird, cool people, and I feel right at home with them. But then I got to do Team Ninja Warrior, which actually comes out, airs this January 19th at 8, 7 Central and Esquire.
Oh, so it's already been filmed?
It's already been filmed.
How fun.
Yeah, so three ninjas to a team. I was a cowboy ninja and Tarzan ninja, and we were a team, and we went head-to-head with another team, and just imagine, like, some shared sections of the obstacle where it's like if someone's already on the, you know, wiggly step, and you jump on the wiggly step, either they go flying or you go flying, and it's just...
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you were doing that first Ninja Warrior, you had, what, 5 weeks to train?
Oh, is that? Yeah, yeah. And I don't have access to a ninja gym in Seattle, so there's only so much I could do. But I did what I could, and I just went in with, I just tried to go in with a good attitude, saying, you know, this isn't my main sport, isn't my main thing, but I'm going to do the best I can, and if it goes well, awesome. And if it doesn't go well, well, hopefully it'll at least be entertaining for TV. And it did go well, but I also, when I did fall, I totally belly flopped.
I think it was hilarious. Yeah. I saw that. Well, and when I watched that, I mean, you're 5'5", and yeah, 120 pounds. And when I watched it, that event particularly, if you're doing Spartan, some of the obstacles are better for bigger people. The running is better. There's a balance that goes along with bigger and smaller. When you're talking about the ninja, you have to be, it seems like you need to be bigger because it's, you know, the swinging and everything else, don't you think?
It's a good question. It just depends. There are still some things where being, you know, bigger, taller is better for, say, the spider jump,
yes,
for the warp wall.
Yeah.
But being smaller, lighter can be better for things where you are hanging for a long time on a cargo net,
right,
and macheting. So it's kind of cool that... a variety of people can do well on both American Ninja Warrior and on any obstacle course race, Spartan, you know, Battlefrog, whatever. And that's really cool because for, you know, professional basketball, you have to be tall.
Right.
For football, you have to be big. I mean, there's some, you know, constraints there. And in this obstacle course racing world, it's going to open to everybody.
Exactly. And in triathlon and running, I mean, running, usually you're a little smaller, but it's really, there's so many different sizes that have success, especially when you get into things like, it seemed like the steeple would have been perfect for you just because that's a tough person's race.
Yeah. You know, and if I'd spent more time on it, perhaps it would have been, but... Again, obstacle course racing, you know, it came up and it grabbed me and sucked me in so hard, and I'm just really happy here in this world. And I'll always be a runner at heart. And I love running. I love my running friends. Most of my best friends are runners. At the end of the day, though, you know, kind of for my, you know, I don't know, my personality, I just love the variety, too. What I love is the short obstacle course races, really, because then I want someone next to me pushing me, pulling me.
Yes.
When I'm just kind of, like, lost up in the woods for a couple hours, then
I can
start
to think. You can lose focus a little bit.
I can lose a little focus and start to think about my to-do list for the week. And I want to be sucked in, drawn in. You know, I don't want to be thinking about anything but how I can get from point A to point B as quickly as I can, as well as I can. That's the beauty of it, right? When you're just really, truly, presently involved in your activity, it really is a beautiful thing. It's almost as intense and hard as it is. It's almost a vacation for my mind because I have no room to worry about anything, worry about my aging parents. I don't have room to worry about anything because I'm present and I'm just, you know, living, thriving, and running, and climbing, and crawling, and it's awesome.
I tell people all the time, the great thing about putting a number on, unless you're carrying your phone with you, which you shouldn't, it's the ultimate therapy. It's you and yourself, you and the course for a period of time. You don't have to worry about anything else. And the rest of the world doesn't exist. I love your one line I read, you know, you make friends with your competitors. If I win, great. If they win, great. Right? Because you're friends with them. I love that. I mean, that's really the purity of sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is that I appreciate them because they bring the best out of me.
Yeah.
You know, I had a time period in Seattle where I won a lot of road races in a row, like 5Ks.
Yeah.
And it was fun, and I loved it. Believe me, it's a total privilege. But at the end of the day, I also love to be pushed. I want to know how fast I can run. I want to know what my edge is. And it's not about winning every time. winning's fun. Do not get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. It's very fun. You get, you know, people who come and give you high fives, and they say that they're proud of you, and it has a lot of great things that come with it. But at the end of the day, I want to be pushed and challenged, and having other people out there to push me, motivate me. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, if I'm friends with my competitors, I think it's partly why I've lasted so long working out and racing so intensely, is because I've found ways to enjoy it even if I don't win, even if I, you know, have a really bad race and don't get anywhere near winning. If I'm out there with friends, I'm having a good time, you know, I can share in their joy, then I go home and I had a good time either way. But if the person that I always hate, my rival, beats me and I am mad all day, I mean, that's not going to last very long. At least it wouldn't for me. So yeah, it's been, I've had a great relationship with racing and with my competitors, and I plan to do this for a very long time.
You have, last I checked, Reebok, Beat Elite, Panasonic as sponsors. When you came out of college, if I had said, hey, you know, in a few years, you're going to be a world-class athlete in a different sport that you don't even know what it is, and you're going to have national and international sponsors supporting you so that you can do this race, this event, what would you have thought?
Oh, I would have thought, wait, what?
Smoking what? Yeah.
Exactly. No, totally. I mean, I wouldn't have, I'd like to think that I wouldn't have, that I always had the possibility open. Like, I do remember one time, you know, maybe, I don't know, a few years after college, but still many years ago, when I was doing well in road races and getting back in shape, but nothing crazy, and a teammate of mine said, oh, I'm so glad we have this running group and stuff, because I wouldn't really be doing this, because let's face it, we're not going to become professional athletes. And I remember thinking, whoa.
Speak for yourself.
Is funny, because I wasn't necessarily on track to be at that moment. I mean, but I guess I've always kind of wanted to keep that possibility out there. And I think it's important to kind of leave all doors open. So, yeah, on one hand, I would have been like, yeah, what? Are you kidding me? But on the other hand, I would have been like, oh, cool. So I found a way to kind of bring it all together. And the obstacle racing sport, it does take all my strengths and put them all together. So I feel really lucky that it's around now, because I've had some people say, oh, man, what an amazing sport. If only that had been around 20 years ago when I was, you know, 25 or something, yeah. I would have just been all into it. So I feel fortunate that I'm, you know, I'm here in my prime, having a great time, and I have this sport that's just a great fit.
You know, it's interesting, from covering endurance for, you know, since the earth was still cooling. my roommate was this guy named Ned Overend, who went on to become the world mountain bike champion. But when we were living together back in the late 70s, mountain biking hadn't been invented yet.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, and same with triathlon, with Dave Scott and Mark Allen. Those guys sort of came from other stuff, and all of a sudden this brand new sport came along that they can make a living at. And you guys are sort of in that same realm with obstacle racing. It's really a cool time. They're talking about Spartan trying to get into the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
What was the toughest adaptation for you, going from being, you know, a runner to doing something where you had to use your upper body so much?
It's a good question. You know, really, it's the upper body part. I already was doing a lot of pull-ups for the gym I worked at. They gave us a bonus, and we could do 10 pull-ups every 6 months. So I always kind of enjoyed being strong, and I enjoy, like, flying through the air. So that's why American Ninja Warrior is a great fit, because it just, like, has a big Wii component, like, Wii, I got to do this, do that. I will say that the hardest thing for me has just been the boring, go grab a sandbag and hike up a hill for 25 minutes. That's been the biggest challenge, not just physically, even though it is, you know, it is hard physically, but just the mental component. It's just, it's slow, and it's not something that I find truly enjoyable. And obviously there are things in life we have to do that we don't enjoy. You want to be a parent, you got to change some poopy diapers, right? So I totally get that. At the end of the day, though, my childhood was so serious in a lot of ways, church every day, paper routes, lots of dishes and laundry, that I kind of have this feeling as an adult now that I'm in control of my life and I can do what I want to do and enjoy doing. And you know, I think it's important that when someone works out, It's healthy to exercise, of course. And it's important that what they do is something that's sustainable mentally, too, and it's something that they enjoy doing. Sometimes people will say, wow, you run every day. You're so disciplined. And it's like, well, I am disciplined, but I also enjoy running. I don't really enjoy, say, swimming as much. I never really learned as a kid and haven't really learned super well now, though it's on my bucket list. But you don't see me swimming every day. I mean, yes. It's like, I'm running every day. I love it, right? And so it's that, you know, if you hate going to the gym but you love Zumba, go do Zumba. Be the best Zumba dancer you can be, you know? And I do think that's important for people to realize it doesn't have to be this huge chore. It can be enjoyable. In fact, it should be enjoyable in the same way that eating healthy food doesn't have to be this huge chore. There are ways to make it enjoyable, and it doesn't have to, be a big task. It can be an easy part of life sometimes if you find the right balance.
So if I was to look in your closet, because my wife gives me crap all the time, because in my closet I've got a turkey costume, I've got a bunny suit, I've got probably 8 Elvis outfits, running Elvis outfits, frog suit for my old Muddy Buddy series. What you got a tutu, you got your Wonder Woman, what else you got in there?
Catwoman.
Oh, nice.
80s.
I've got a fro. I got the high fro. So, yeah, I got the 80s. Yeah.
Oh, all kinds of colors of wigs for sure.
Nice. Nice.
It's just that enjoyable component. Not everybody wants to wear a costume in public. I don't blame them. But, you know, if it's St. Patrick's Day and I'm going to the St. Patrick's Day Dasher in Seattle,
yep.
I'm going to wear a leprechaun outfit or a green dress and orange gloves. I'm going to get into it because, you know, it just makes it more enjoyable. And to be honest, I've run some of my fastest races in a costume. So if anyone out there gives me grief, like, oh, well, if you're really serious, you wouldn't be wearing a costume, I would argue that sometimes when people get really, really nervous, they actually don't run their fastest.
Exactly.
Whereas if you're fit, you know, and I work hard in practice.
Yep.
When I'm training, I work out hard. So race day is like the fun day. I get to go show the world the hard work I've done. And if I'm wearing a costume, I mean, it's like I wear ones that don't necessarily get in the way that much. So, you know, I can still do my thing.
Absolutely.
And it turns out when I wear a costume, I have hundreds of people smiling and laughing, and that just makes the whole experience even more fun.
I tell people all the time, and we started this Running Elvis group years ago, and we had, in Vegas one year, we had 209 people dressed as Elvis running along. You would go out of your mind. You'd love it. We'd push
in.
A baby jogger with a boombox playing Elvis tunes the entire way with a cooler for beer and the whole bit. But with what I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what type of shape you're in. When you put the Elvis outfit on, one, you're anonymous, and two, you just enjoy yourself. Forget about the fact that you're going, oh, my God, mm-hmm. I'm running 30 seconds per mile slower than I normally run. You're just out there, and you're able to enjoy the experience without any pressure because it's not really mm-hmm. you, right? You're mm-hmm. dressed as somebody else.
Totally. It really is. If someone's never run a race in a costume, I do recommend it. And if you feel silly if no one else is dressed up, that's fine. Choose one where everyone's dressed up. St. Patrick's Day dashes or whatever, you know, jingle bell runs. But it does add an element of joy and happiness to it. And like my husband Tim, he's a very, very intelligent, you know, kind of more serious person. And he appreciates my playful side. He thinks, you know, he's there to kind of help me stay, like, you know, organized and focused and stuff. And then I'm here to bring out that joyful component. I mean, you know, he maybe would never dress up for Halloween necessarily on his own accord. But, man, I got him to wear a full-on elf costume complete with red tights. And he had a blast, right? Because it was fun. And his nephews and nieces thought it was hilarious. So, you know, it's sometimes those opposites do attract.
Exactly.
And sometimes, yeah.
It's
you
just,
never know what
costumes mm-hmm. make people smile all the time. Now you mentioned your husband Tim, and you mm-hmm. guys have gone through a tough health issue, health scare,
yeah.
basically. When was Tim diagnosed with cancer?
So Tim was diagnosed with a very rare form of cancer right in the middle of my season in June.
Yeah,
and you know, it was very slow growing. At least it was a form of abdominal cancer. Called PMP, where basically his appendix must have burst a few years ago and spewed out this mucinous, cancerous cell-like substance throughout his abdominal cavity, causing him to just feel a little off when he was running, like his breathing was just a little bit labored. So he, being the researcher that he is, investigated, and found out he had this rare form of cancer, which, you know, I mean, he's in his 40s. Like, I mean, it just blew us away. I mean, he's the healthiest person I know. He's even was a yoga instructor back in the day. Like, he's healthy mind, body, soul, spirit in every way, shape, and form, right? And so that, you know, it threw us off. But again, we're used to obstacles, and we found a way to work through. Our support network is absolutely amazing. I mean, oh, gosh, we're very lucky people. And, you know, he had this really aggressive 12-hour surgery at the end of my season. He waited till the end of my season because it was slow growing anyway. And we moved to Omaha. We sold our house, sold a lot of the stuff we owned. We moved to Omaha, where the best surgeon was for this particular surgery, lived with Tim's parents. And we were there for a couple months, really.
Wow.
Yes. It's kind of like a surreal. And now here he is 2 months later, two and a half almost now, and he still has a ways to go before he can lift more than 10 pounds. So he can't work out. But he's awesome. He's helping me, you know, kind of acting as my agent. I mean, I'm in talks with Marriott and a couple other sponsors. And so he's helping facilitate those and just keeping a great attitude. And, you know, he's one of the lucky ones, knock on wood, right? I mean, cancer is a scary thing.
Well, and the nice thing is the fact that he is so in tune with his body. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it so many different times on this show where an athlete goes in and the doctor will say, oh, you just have a low threshold of pain, or they just don't quite get it, that there's something more involved there. But I'm sure Tim knew that it was more than what the doctors thought it was at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's in tune with his body. Someone said, oh, you're just getting older. And he was like, I don't buy that.
Nah,
you know, I'm going to investigate this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think one of your tweets was that cancer is one of those obstacles that you can't burpee your way out of.
No.
Which I think really puts things in perspective.
Yeah. Yep. No, perspective has been a gift, actually, because, you know, we can worry about things in life, and it's okay to worry about things if you know, your car breaks down or something. Man, it's okay to worry about those things, of course. Nuisances in the day, but you really get perspective when you or someone you really care about goes through something like cancer, where it's like, oh, you really find yourself nagging to them about, you know, putting the toilet seat down, which, by the way, I never nag about, and he's great at. But it's like, it puts things in perspective. Like, wow, I'm glad you're here and alive. Like, I'm going to give you a hug because you're here. Even if, you know, you forgot our anniversary, which, of course, he never does. I'm more likely to do. But anyways, you know my point. It's just the power of perspective. And also, like, you have a race and it maybe doesn't go very well. Well, you know, I was, you know, before the world championship race for Spartan, I was thinking about Tim. I was thinking, oh, my gosh, this is like the last thing on my docket before Tim goes and gets surgery. I mean, it's like, wow. I mean, he got his spleen removed, his omentum removed, appendix. I mean, it was an intense surgery and chemo, you know, in there for a couple hours. And it's just, oh, man. I mean, but
hard to think about racing. Yeah. Racing doesn't seem quite that important.
Although I still had one of my best races, I was in the lead for half that race, and this is way out of my wheelhouse as far as it being a long race. I mean, I trained well for it, but I never lose my fire to race because I really truly enjoy it. But it does grant this in a good way perspective of, like, if this race goes super well, great, and if it doesn't, guess what? It's okay, because either way, I get to spend the rest of the day with Tim and my family and my friends, and this is going to be a good day no matter what, because I'm in a privileged country with privileged opportunities, and I'm not running from gunfire or running to go get water. I'm running for fun. I mean, this is fantastic. I mean, a living to some degree, but, I mean, the power of perspective is amazing. I mean, I think about these things in the starting line, and, like, it's just, I feel happiness when I'm on the starting line, like, it's such a privilege to be there.
It really is. And speaking of starting lines, the Spartan at Vail Lake coming up on Saturday, January 30th, 8 miles, 24 obstacles, Spartan.com. Rose Wetzel, one of the very best in the world, will be there. Now, how'd you end up at the Worlds this year up in Tahoe?
I got fifth, actually. I was second American.
Wow, way to go.
And I got fifth. Yeah, thanks. I was on the extended podium. There were a couple of really incredible dark horses, for lack of a better way of saying it, who came in from other countries and snagged two of the top three spots. So, you know, especially taking those out of the picture, I would have been on the podium. And even really finishing ahead of everybody on the podium from last year, which is really saying a lot because they're all incredible athletes.
Right.
So,
right.
My American Ninja Warrior training paid off. I was able to get these crazy, slippery, spinny monkey bars in the beginning, and I led for a good portion of the race up the mountain. And, yeah, it was a great experience.
When I look at the top three in that race, Czech Republic was first, Canada second, Canada third. So, obviously, this is becoming an international sport, which is
mm-hmm.
what it's all about, right?
Which is great. Oh, totally. Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I think that Spartan... you know, will eventually have its world championship in other countries.
Yes.
So that would be great, too, just so that we in America, you know, don't always have the advantage of having it here on our own home turf. But that'd be great. Yeah, let's grow the sport. You know, we welcome new competition, and we welcome, you know, anyone to come in, whether they're at the top or the back of the pack or wherever, just to come and challenge themselves in a new way and see what they're, you know, capable of, which is generally more than we know.
So any of your eight siblings or your mom and dad come out to watch you race yet?
They have seen, yes, I had quite a few siblings come, three of them down to the Washougal race recently, despite the fact we had a family wedding that day, so that was really cool. To have them come. And then, you know, my parents, my dad's 88 years old.
Wow.
And my mom is, she's got to be 74. So it's hard for them to
yes.
go to races, but they get to watch them on TV, which is just fantastic. So
do people, yeah. when people recognize you, is it more for Spartan or because Spartan's had a lot of TV this year or is
right.
it Ninja Warrior?
You know, I've had both in the grocery store with Spartan the other day. But Ninja Warrior is a little more common just because it's such a huge,
yeah.
Huge, well-known and well-watched sport. And it's on, you know, primetime national television. But I will say this, the pinnacle of all of this has got to have been a few months ago when a little 3 or 4-year-old boy recognized me from American Ninja Warrior on the playground.
Yes.
And I thought, you're Rose Wetzel? And I was like, oh, my gosh, that's it. I've made it. I will never get cooler. This is it.
Now, is it because
I can retire happy.
Were you doing monkey bars with him?
I was doing monkey bar stuff, yeah.
You were in the playground doing monkey bars. I
yeah.
love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, was he pretty good in the monkey bars? Come on now.
4 or 5 years
old.
He was pretty good, yeah. Yeah,
hey.
Only like 4.
Rose, thank you so much for taking so much time. Really a pleasure to get to meet you over the phone, and I'm so glad that Tim is doing better.
Yeah. Oh, it's an honor, Bob, yeah. Tim says hi. He's rocking it over there, and we hope to see you out maybe at some races sometime soon, and everybody else.
Love it. Again, the Spartan race is coming up on January 30th, Saturday, January 30th. Rose Wetzel will be there. 24 obstacles, 8 miles. Check out Spartan.com. Again, we are brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySight.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or Babbittville. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.